And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Lights out and away we ayo. Welcome to No Breaks, a Formula One podcast from the No Dunks Inc. Classic Factory, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Trey Kirby. We've got our local F1 expert and recent home purchaser, Graydon Gordian. Graydon, what's up, man?
How's it going, petrol heads?
What's up, petrol heads?
Happy to be here.
You got a garage at that new place?
I don't have a garage. I've got a shed, though. Pretty excited about that shed, adding
right.
The shed action.
I guess we could throw a podcast studio in there. Anytime I see a garage, it's probably really a podcast studio, isn't it?
Yeah, I've already started to build it out.
Of course,
my wife doesn't know, but she'll know.
Suddenly,
soon
you're going to be recording classics. I love it.
Yeah.
That's what we do here in this garage with our team principal JD over there, making the magic happen.
Hello, guys.
Would you recommend it, JD, putting a podcast studio in your garage at any possible chance you get?
You know, I would recommend it. I would recommend it. Yeah, it's nice having it. It sucks not being able to do really anything else with the garage, but
sure.
For when you're podcasting, it's awesome.
It's perfect.
Awesome.
Well, we are podcasting now, so thank you to everybody joining us live on the Slipstream team here on YouTube, or if you're listening to the podcast later, thank you as well. We're here to talk about the very first Miami Grand Prix, Graydon.
Numero
what were your
uno.
Thoughts on the weekend overall down there in Miami?
What it? Okay, maybe not the craziest race we've ever had, but I feel like a crazy weekend.
Definitely.
As I found myself like going back to like note things that we should talk about on the show, is like there are so many weird things that happen on the periphery of this race. I feel like that is what the U.S. is best at. I don't know if we always deliver the best races, but any race that happens in the U.S. is full of weird other stuff. So
exactly right. The off-track content it always is to the max. At a United States Grand Prix, I think it was also the most watched Grand Prix of the year, which seems to kind of always be the case when they have one in the U.S. I think the Austin one was last year. I thought it was pretty surprising that this was on ABC. When we've got basketball playoffs going on, usually that's the Sunday afternoon kind of.
I was a little surprised at that too. Actually, I thought that was really fascinating. That I don't know exactly what it means, but it's very telling about the prominence of the sport that it's kicking the NBA playoffs out of the ABC slot. That was wild.
Yeah, that was definitely a surprise. Also very hot down there in Miami.
Wow,
from what I could
it
tell.
Seemed really hot.
Yeah, very hot. And you heard a lot of like them, you know, like the broadcasters talking about how this is actually going to affect the race and how long it's going to take for your tires to warm up and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, definitely they race in some really hot places. I think normally, we haven't been in a couple of years, but like Singapore is always a famously hot race because of the humidity. It's about the humidity, guys.
You think it's more about
it's
the
not
humidity?
A dry heat. It's not a dry heat. And I think, but I don't know that. I mean, they must have realized, but I think it was really punishing there this weekend at times.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like it. Maybe not the most interesting race. We'll get to the off-court. I've been talking basketball too much, man. The off-track stuff a little bit later. But I thought practice was interesting. I thought qualifying was interesting. I like seeing Mick Schumacher go into Q2 qualifying.
Loved it.
We had the drama of George Russell, Daniel Ricciardo, getting knocked out after Q2. We ended up with Charles Leclerc on pole, followed by Sainz in P2, Verstappen P3. Got any thoughts on practice or qualifying?
You know, it seemed like qualifying was interesting. I think we're starting to see that Ferrari really performs really well in qualifying. The car seems kind of optimized for qualifying almost, and that is really interesting. It's going to have really interesting effects over the course of the season. But I don't know. You know, I think the one thing is that I thought to myself initially is that maybe Max didn't, you know, Red Bull kind of underperformed in qualifying, and as did Mercedes, again, I think kind of underperformed in qualifying. So it seemed, I don't know, it didn't end up, I'll say this, coming out of qualifying, I had a really strong inclination about the race that I'm not sure ended up being true. I think I was a little bit more surprised by how the race ended up playing out, given what we saw on Saturday.
Did you think it was going to be more of a Monaco, where if you're qualifying first, you got a pretty solid shot at taking home the checkered flag?
A lot of the drivers were suggesting that it might be. All you heard leading up to it was chattering about how hard it would be to overtake during the race, right? That off the line was really slick, that it was going to end up being a really boring race, you know. And so to me, I thought, oh, is this really just a race down to turn one? And that once you're there, that's that. You know what I mean? It seemed plausible heading into it. I guess we didn't really know. And because of some interruptions to practice, you know, various red flags, we actually hadn't seen a lot of the guys run long, run on heavy fuel, sure, run the tire, run race distances during practice. So I think there was still a lot of unknowns, like known unknowns heading into Sunday. But it definitely, I suspected it was going to be hard to overtake. It was going to be a little bit of a parade, and that whoever started on pole should probably overwhelmingly be the favorite to win.
So. Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines, and I also thought it was maybe not the greatest sign when most of the drivers were like, don't expect a good race on Sunday.
No, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't
the driving's
going to
be tough, and it's probably not going to be very good. So
no, that doesn't seem good at all. I also thought, to be honest, I thought Sunday we were going to see just a lot more, I don't want to say, well, maybe driver error, but stoppages. There's big sections of the track, and that became clear over practice, you know, that are just super tight, yeah, especially like turns 11 through 14 in there, like before that chicane, before you get to the long back straight. That is a super tight section, really hard to navigate, where both Ocon and Sainz put it in the wall. You know, I thought, oh, we're definitely going to get a red flag during this race. There's no way this is clean and nobody puts it in a wall at some point. So, again, something that didn't play out exactly the way I anticipated. But,
yeah,
you know,
got one little collision. I guess we had a few collisions in the race. One major one that, yeah, obviously had a bit of an influence on what happened. But, yeah, cleaner, I thought, Grand Prix than expected, especially, you know, with all the crashes during practice in particular. As for the race, here's the results. In P1, Max Verstappen takes the win, Graydon, followed by both the Ferrari guys. In P2, to Leclerc, P3 for Sainz. He's followed by Sergio Perez. Then we got the Mercedes, George Russell in P5, P6 for Hamilton, followed by Bottas in P7, Ocon in P8, Alexander Albon in P9, and Lance Stroll, the last points down there in P10, I think, because Fernando Alonso, it's a bit of a penalty meister during the Grand Prix.
Yes.
So, Braden, we always go through categories here. What's your big takeaway from the Miami Grand Prix?
My big takeaway is that Ferrari has to be a little bit more aggressive strategically than they are, because they do not have the pure pace at this time to win from behind. If they are out in front, they can defend effectively sometimes, although in this race, not so much. And in clear air, you know, they can keep pace. But if they're fighting from behind, they don't have the speed on the straights to overtake Red Bull. So they need to be willing to take some chances. For example, during the safety car, they chose not to pit Charles Leclerc and come out behind Max with softs on. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any mediums available. They only had to go to softs, and they were concerned about, I think, probably would those hold up to the end of the race. But given the length of the safety car, I think they absolutely would have held up to the end of the race. And at the very least, you probably would have gotten past Max and had Max fighting to repass you at the very end in a worst-case scenario. I personally would have taken that risk. I think it would have been worth it. I think it's not in their nature to do so. They're strategically more conservative. I think they need to have a slightly higher risk tolerance there. They need to roll the dice a bit more, because at this point, I don't think you look at the last couple races and anymore can you say they're the presumptive favorite to win it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely right. Red Bull looks like the fastest car on the grid. Every time that Verstappen has finished a race, he's won the race.
Exactly.
That definitely is playing out. So, yeah, maybe Ferrari needs to take some more chances. Though I think they said that with regards to the safety car, I think Horner said that Red Bull got really lucky because they had already passed the pit entrance, but so had Ferrari. So,
yeah,
whatever,
so
that kind
maybe
of set,
yeah,
they missed their chance, maybe?
Maybe
I don't
they
know.
Missed their chance. It's true. It started with a virtual safety car and then went to safety car. So that kind of affects, you probably know it's going to go to a safety car. For a virtual safety car, when they just kind of pause the race and everybody maintains their distance, you can kind of get into the pits and get out. But for a virtual safety, for an actual safety car, when they let people bunch up, it's a possibility everybody scoots up behind you and you lose a lot of spots real fast. You don't know when they're going to flip that switch. So there is risk involved. And in Ferrari's defense, after the way things went last week, where they threw away points on an error, they probably thought, we're in second and third. That's a good points haul. Let's keep it. You know, because in their mind, I will say this about Ferrari, they are playing the long game. Mattia Binotto, after the race, when being challenged about Red Bull's pace, said Red Bull, what the mistake he thinks they're doing is they are blowing all of their budget on improvements early in the season, and we intend to manage that budget over time and improve more between now and December. So that is, now maybe that is true, I don't know. Clearly Red Bull has picked up a lot of pace. Even the difference between Australia and, you know, this week is a massive improvement from the Red Bull. So the question is, but that's a little bit speculative. How much of their budget have they allotted to that? How much does Ferrari have left? How much more do they have to improve? But that is a new element this year, which is the budget caps and the amount of money that you can invest in intra-season improvements is going to change the way that works. You can't just keep your foot on the gas and improve and improve and improve and improve. You have to pick your spots to make leaps forward and invest those dollars. So I think we won't know until the end, did people kind of manage that those limited resources correctly? So
is that kind of stuff available? You know, like, can I go to gearhype.com and see all the cost caps and that kind of stuff?
Well, you could see all the cost caps, but I don't think you can see how much they've like deducted against it, right? Like, I don't think any, but in fact, almost certainly you can't, because I'm sure the teams are trying very hard to hide that from one another. This is also the reason why I think that secretly Mercedes isn't really a threat, even if they like turn some corner to actually like come back and win the Constructors' Championship or something like that, is that they'll also run out of budget at some point as they keep pushing and pushing and pushing to catch up to the top two. But we don't know. I mean, again, Binotto's speculating. Sure. Who knows how much? Maybe these improvements that Red Bull made were actually minor tweaks that were kind of easy gains, and they have the majority of their budget left. So he's speculating, but certainly what he suggests is Ferrari believe they have a lot of pace they can still find that they haven't gone and gotten yet.
Well, I think that's interesting, because we did see Sergio Perez still having problems with his car. You know, he's saying he was losing 3 seconds on the straights, basically, and they're like, we can't seem to find anything wrong here. That might have been a little bit of gamesmanship. Apparently, they fixed it, but there were still problems for Red Bull. But I'm kind of with you. I think that Ferrari should have been a little bit more bold with their pit strategy, because they kind of got a gift with the safety car being so late, because Verstappen was in such a huge lead ahead of Leclerc that when it actually got bunched up together, maybe you think, all right, we got a little bit of a chance here that we wouldn't have actually gotten. So I agree with you there. And the other part for me, my big takeaway, Graydon, is that Mercedes has done some upgrades. They look better.
Sure.
But it
sure
ain't good enough. They got basically new wings in the front and in the back. Car looked a lot faster. George Russell was the fastest in a practice FP2. Looked great in Q1. Not great after Q2. And even after he had that really nice practice on Friday, both him and Hamilton were like, we have no idea what's happening. You know, like,
sure,
our cars are working really well, but we can't exactly figure out why, which, you know, it just seems like kind of more of the same for Mercedes. Their car is really inconsistent. It seems hard to drive, and they haven't exactly nailed it, even from day to day. Like, it feels like the car changes every single time they go out there.
No, I think that's right. There still is too much variance. It's not refining and honing in. It still is a lot of testing and trying, right? But at the end of the day, they still showed great pace, right? Fifth and sixth, that's a terrific, best of the rest for them is a terrific haul at this point, and very confidently so. You know, they got a little bit lucky with a mistake from Valtteri late in the race where he went a little wide on the turn. Yeah, he got
like
a little
both
bit,
of them.
Yeah, he got a little bit nervous with his old team breathing down his neck. But you know, so they got a bit lucky with that mistake. But either way, they were going to finish right in there. They were probably in a good position to overtake him at some point during the remainder of the race. So it's... But they are showing it's interesting. They definitely, the race pace is there, right? They are confidently in third in the championship. Russell is the only guy to finish in the top five in every single race so far this season, which, by the way, he's driving incredibly, right? But it's, at the same time, their qualifying struggles are a nightmare, and it's going to be a huge handicap on them if they can't solve that and find a little bit more balance between the sort of car characteristics that you need to perform well in quali versus what you need for race day. So,
is Lewis Hamilton ever going to be able to beat George Russell again, or what's going on here? Because he does seem to be coming out on the short end of things, strategy-wise and luck-wise. But if it keeps happening, like, there has to be a reason. Like, it can't just be Russell ends up in the perfect place every single time for a pit stop.
No, and that's right. I mean, Russell is getting lucky. Again, the safety car, again, this week benefited Russell, and he wouldn't probably have finished where he would if it was just a clean race and Russell had to pit late. Again, I don't think he finishes ahead of Lewis. So, again, he gets a little lucky, but he's making his own luck. You know, running long at the beginning of a race where a safety car was widely expected is a smart move. So there is something sensible. Now, they also just did that because of where he finished in qualifying, which was bad. But certainly I'll say this. There is, I do not believe for one second that Mercedes is like favoring George Russell strategically. Like Lewis is their guy. He has led them to the mountaintop time and time and time again. They're not like, you know, favoring Russell. I think at the end of the day, he just looks good. He's making his own luck. At some point, at some point you have to wonder, is Lewis a little, I don't want to like play pop psychologist here, but this has been a very demoralizing 6 months. Losing the title at the very last moment, even realistically possible, coming in, having the car be so underwhelming, being outperformed by your teammate for the first time since you joined Mercedes, really. I mean, I know Nico beat him for the title, but it was neck and neck, closer than he's been to Russell, really. It's all really difficult for him. And I'm not saying that he can't rise to the challenge, but I do think maybe he's just a little bit back on his heels in his way that he's not normally.
It's definitely a different kind of challenge, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's harder to get excited like, oh, I'm coming in fifth today.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going for my eighth straight title or whatever it may be. But definitely strange. I mean, you definitely see the buzz of people being like, is this going to actually be Lewis Hamilton's last season? Like, is he just going to go on to become a famous champion guy? Because he did a great job of being a famous champion guy, I thought, down there in Miami. But yeah, very odd to see Hamilton not getting the most out of his car, because Russell definitely is.
Well, and then also what's weird is that at the end of last season, I would have told you this is, despite what is an incredible career of championship-level performances week in, week out, Lewis was doing some of the best driving I had ever seen. Like, like the Brazil Grand Prix is a top three drive all time from any driver over the course of that whole weekend. It's unbelievable what he did over the, you know, it's like he was firing on all cylinders, and then to see him come in and be and struggle so much, it feels like such a drop off from where he was at so recently. I don't know if I have a good explanation for that.
It's just definitely strange. I guess we'll see how it progresses as the season goes on, because he can't be happy to be the number two driver on the team that he's won so many championships with. But this one might be a hard category to answer, Graydon. What was the best moment from the Miami GP?
Ooh, wow.
The start? I mean, we had a nice start, you know?
Martin Brundle's chaotic gridwalk. Insane. Is probably my favorite moment. The most exciting stretch actually on track is probably the four or five laps right after the safety car, where Leclerc is chasing down Max, and it feels like, and then just behind them, Perez is pushing Sainz, and you've got a really hot fight between both the Red Bull Ferrari pairings for about four or five laps there, and it's really unclear how that's going to play out. Between the slipstream and DRS, it looked like Leclerc could potentially catch him. Perez on much faster tires, fresher tires, looked like he could possibly overtake Carlos. A lot seemed up in the air at that moment. In the end, nobody changed position. So it's a little bit like, you know, nothing came of it. But that was good television for those, you know, for that stretch there.
Absolutely. It was a much needed and well-timed safety car to give us a couple of little battles there. Like you're saying, the battle for P1 and P2, battle for P3 and P4. And then just a little further back, that's when we had both the Mercs passing buckets as well.
Totally.
Those were all pretty cool moments. The only other thing I would throw maybe in the mix, the start was good. Verstappen had an awesome start. Yep. I thought it was interesting that going into the start, they were saying how it might actually be better to be starting from the odd side of the grid, the 1-3-5-7 side, just because it had better grip. And that's exactly what turned out to be. It's like these guys know what they're talking about out there.
It's like they know what they're talking about.
All about that surfaces. And then around, I guess, lap 17, there was a nice little scrap in the midfield. I think it was Stroll, Vettel, Alonso, and Latifi. Eventually, the two Haases kind of got in the mix as well.
Yeah.
They were just all very close to each other. I don't know if anybody was actually doing any passing, or it'd be like, you know, they get ahead for a quarter of a lap and then the other guy passes, but at least they were mixing it up.
Yeah, no, totally. I think it was just, yeah. I mean, listen, the race wasn't it wasn't the most exciting race. It just wasn't. But there was moments that were fun, and I think the whole spectacle, the whole event itself is fun, you know. But it, for me, the bigger takeaway is what it was more interesting is in the context of the whole season, what this race signified is really fascinating about where the teams are at and where they're headed versus the specifics of any given moment.
Definitely. It felt like a very, like, I think that Alfa Romeo put it as the positions have crystallized at one point. And it definitely felt like that. It's like, here's our top two cars. Here's our third car. Here's the midfield. And then we'll see what happens with the back markers. How about a surprise or a disappointment? Any teams, any drivers stick out to you?
So surprise for me, number one surprise got to be Alex Albon back in the points. That is an awesome drive from him. He just crushed it, and that Williams is not fast. Like, we should not undersell how impressive it was to put it in the points twice so far this season, and they did it. I'm more impressed with this one than the first time around, because the first time around they kind of did it on a very edge case strategy of going to the penultimate lap before pitting. You know, that was kind of a crazy approach. But in this instance, I mean, he just crushed it. And I thought he drove a great race, and he definitely deserves that. Biggest disappointment, I mean, yet another, it's not really his fault. You know who my biggest disappointment is? I was going to say Vettel, but for me, it's actually Mick Schumacher. Mm. And the reason I'm disappointed is because he was right there.
He was right there
on the brink of getting his first points, of having had a really great race. And he messed it up with Vettel, you know, coming into contact with Vettel. And it would have been awesome to see him get his first points. So that's most disappointing in the sense that it's like he was so close and blew it.
Definitely. I thought he was driving great. I thought he'd had a pretty solid qualifying. I think he was Q11 in P1. Or in Q1, sorry. I thought that was great. And it would have been a really nice moment for the Haas team, being the American team with a major name in Schumacher, to actually have a successful weekend. Would have been really great for them, but botched it there at the end, unfortunately. My disappointment, another bad one for McLaren. I thought, Lando was solid in qualifying, but lap 19, he pits from P7. Real slow stop. He gets passed by Stroll and Vettel right into traffic, right into the DRS train, which kind of eventually leads to his crash on lap 40. Whose fault was that, though? Him or Gasly? Because Gasly goes wide, apparently just doesn't see Norris there. Norris kind of jets up on the inside, and then Gasly comes back
in. Did they end up issuing a penalty for it?
I don't think so.
It felt like just like really bad luck on both sides. I don't think anybody's being especially reckless there. I think Gasly is trying to manage a tough situation, trying to stay over on the side. Lando is doing the smart thing and going around him. I mean, it does feel like I saw that, and I just was like, oh, that sucks. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't think like Gasly was. I certainly wouldn't blame Lando.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like I would either blame Gasly or just be like, shit happens. Like, that would be like my take. My take on it. Like, probably.
All right. Here's this is not really one of our things, our categories, but a question I had from you. We had both Aston Martins had to start from the pits.
Yeah.
We had Albon didn't go through qualifying after a crash on Friday, so he started last.
Yes.
Who is actually last?
The guys starting from the pits are actually last.
So you're telling me Albon would be P18, and then the two Aston Martins are 19 and 20.
Did they list it like that? Do they even list you as P19 and 20 at that point?
Yeah, I guess they maybe just put pit stop.
I think they put like pit start. I don't even think they technically put you as that, but they have to wait. They are the, I believe they.
You want to be on
the slipstream team? Tell me if I'm wrong, but it's like I believe when they have to wait. I believe till all the cars have crossed the line. To make that, or wait, I forget the rules around this. The exact rules. Long story short, you don't want to start from the pits.
It's better to be on the grid.
It's better to be on the grid. You do not want to start from the pit lane.
Well, I'm glad to have that clarified because it's going to really factor into my decision here for our most prestigious award. Who was the Full Beans driver of the weekend for you, Graydon? The best beans. Who are you giving your beans to?
I'm going to go George Russell.
Oh,
George, I mean, Russell. I just feel like he's after, and that's partly because of the gap that he made up between qualifying and the race itself. After what was a bad qualifying from him, and it looked like he was struggling to figure out the car. He looked great in practice. He looked like he had real pace. Qualifying went terribly. He then drove a great race. He drove a terrific. He absolutely maximized the potential of the car. The other guy I would consider is Albon. You know, that's, I mean, it, but
P9 from P18, maybe.
I mean,
P18.
It's a terrific result.
Yeah, that was awesome. In a bad car. He had the red hair. He said, I'm keeping it.
Ooh, the red hair.
It's good luck.
What a look.
The only other guy I'm throwing in the mix, Esteban Ocon, finished P8, started in the pits.
He started in the pits.
And I just thought a really solid drive from him as well. I loved the Alpine pit crew shirts that were basically like the Miami Heat, Miami Vice, pink and blue, since they wear pink and blue as well. That was really cool. So
pink. It's one of my
favorite
colors.
Getting my full beans. And I would give Bottas a little bit of love. Good quality. Finished P7. Could have finished higher if there wasn't the safety car
that,
as well.
If Bottas had held off the Mercs, I think I would have said Bottas. That was awesome. Qualifying ahead of Hamilton, being up where he was all race, he had a great weekend. He just had one moment where he succumbed to a lot of pressure from behind and went a little bit wide and let them both slip past him. But if he had held, and he still had a great race, he should still be proud of what he did, but if he had held them off, I think that would have been my answer.
Spilled the beans a little bit there.
He spilled the beans just at the end, got a little bit on his shirt. Just.
But man, what a weird, you know, 9 months for Valtteri, because he finished at Mercedes. It didn't end well. Everybody knew he was going to be replaced, but still, that's a championship car. He could have very easily ended up in a Williams.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, very easily. Instead, he's got Alfa Romeo looking solid, looking really solid, though Zhou Guanyu had to take a DNF in this one.
Yeah, that was a shame. That was very fast, in the very early goings of the race, right? I didn't actually end up reading about what happened there, but listen, that happens. But certainly, I think Zhou Guanyu is showing his inherent talent this weekend aside. I think he's showing that he's a highly capable driver, and Valtteri, and that they're both showing that the car has real potential. I mean, I think this car can absolutely fight for, you know, it seems like it can keep up with anybody in the midfield, you know, aside from maybe Merck at this point.
Yeah, they've definitely been more consistent than McLaren has. And, you know, Haas had a real nice start to the season. They've kind of fallen back a little bit. So, yeah, great season so far from Alfa Romeo. Anything else from the track, Graydon, in Miami?
The only thing I'll say is that Aston looks... Stroll did a nice job salvaging, getting back in the points, but the whole team, bad vibes, feels a bit of a mess. And they are promising some big updates, some big changes in the near future. So I'll be really interested to see whether Aston can make a big leap, because their claim they're coming to Spain with some really big changes. But we'll see. We don't know.
We'll see. They should start by heating up their fuel.
That would be a good start.
Gotta heat up
just
the fuel.
Doing
Everyone
the
knows
basic,
that.
Obeying the basic regulatory requirements to start on the grid and not in the pit lane is a great start.
You want to be on that grid. We'll be back on the grid after this break to talk about everything that happened off the track in Miami.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back with the No Breaks Boys. We're going down to Miami to Meme Central. Lots of fun stuff off the track this weekend. So let's start with the helmets because it's on the top of your head.
Because it's,
I guess. Graydon, what was the best special headwear you saw in Miami this week? We got Lando Norris's basketball helmet.
I mean, this is I love this.
Yeah, this is, I thought it looked better in pictures than
in when like on the race.
Yes, yeah. It looks too realistic.
Yeah,
almost.
It's like he's wearing a
basketball. Yeah, it just looks heavier to me. I don't know if a basketball or a helmet is heavier, but for whatever reason it just looked a little too heavy to me. I thought he had a great line where he said, "We should actually give this to George with how much bouncing he does out there."
Oh, savage.
Another great one from the McLaren boys, Daniel Ricciardo's Ace Ventura helmet, which was not a way to take the Miami theme that I was expecting, but I thought it was very funny to have a missing snowflake there on the back. Because I'm thinking Miami Heat when I hear Miami, or I'm thinking, you know, beach scenes, but definitely Ace Ventura was set in Miami, right around the Dolphins. Great stuff. I also liked Sebastian Vettel's helmet. He's saying that the Miami GP is going to be the first underwater GP by 2060. He showed up with a climate change shirt as well. Vettel's awesome, man.
He is awesome. I love this. I love him bringing attention to the climate change stuff and making the Miami GP about that. Plus, this also, I think, looks sharp.
It does look cool. Yeah, with like a snorkel on it.
Yeah, I think I'm into snorkel. It. Like, it's rad. Yeah.
Act Now or Swim Later.
The big Aramco logo on the side little bit like there's some cognitive dissonance there, I think.
Just a little.
Like, but it's still cool. I think it's still cool.
Yeah, maybe on the back it says, "We're a little to blame as well."
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess he's like, "Oh, I'll be retired
both
by
2060. Both sides, real small.
And then we have to mention the Pirelli Championship helmets after this. This was wild. Coming out to the podium, rocking the Pirelli helmets. They also did get hats. I thought Verstappen pulled it off, and I thought this picture of Carlos Sainz giving the salute was just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I don't know how people feel about it. I'm into the football helmet. I want a Pirelli football helmet. I think because last year in Austin, they gave him cowboy hats, right?
Yeah.
And then here, which is, to me, we need to go with like regional headwear for every podium celebration, I think.
Okay. But like, do they only do it in the United States, it seems?
I think the United States I think in the U.S. we're the most inclined to do something weird and gimmicky and make them wear something silly. So that's probably, but I don't think that's like a uniquely American staple. It's like, we're the ones that make them wear weird hats.
Americans are known for their famously weird hats.
Yeah.
Two questions off that then. Las Vegas is going to be the next United States Grand Prix next year in November. What is the Nevada
clear plastic gambling visors, like a poker visor thing that is like see through plasticky but says Pirelli on the top? That would be awesome.
That's perfect. That's honestly perfect. And the other question, which F1 driver do you think would be the best NFL player?
Wow. What a good.
I don't know if I can see many of them.
The answer is the answer. First of all, the answer is none of them. The answer is none of them would be good. They're like tiny guys.
Yeah. Russell's 6'4". He could
He's tall. He's tall. So he could be like a wide receiver or something.
Well, I was thinking place kicker, but.
Place kicker. Yeah. Place kicker is fine. Ooh, punter. Maybe Daniel Ricciardo could be a punter. I think he's. Some of them are a little good at soccer. Leclerc is good at soccer. Vettel's good at soccer. They could be a, you know, like a place kicker.
Yeah. They're used to wearing helmets already. So that changed.
I went with punting for Ricciardo because I was thinking like Aussie rules football players are good punters.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they are. They do punt.
You got to have some sort of foot skills.
Yeah.
I think Ricciardo's a good choice, but let us know down in the comments which Formula One driver would be the best football player. They were all saying this was a very physical race, Graydon. So I don't know how 2.5 hours of 90 degree heat stacks up to 60 minutes of NFL football, but I can see it being similar.
Yeah.
A lot of celebs in attendance down there in Miami. What was your favorite interaction? You already mentioned Martin Brundle going crazy.
Brundle going crazy on the grid. I mean, him talking to, is it Paolo Banchero? Mistaking him for
Patrick Mahomes.
For Patrick Mahomes was a pretty special moment.
I was talking to someone different, but I would like to get to know you.
I was like not paying attention during this. I was like doing something with one of the babies like in the corner. And then I heard Martin Brundle like kind of end this conversation awkwardly and came sprinting back over to the television to be like, what is going on?
This was a weird moment when he's just yelling, Patrick! Patrick! Oh, that's not Patrick. No wonder he was ignoring me. But, you know, to Brundle's credit, I suppose, Paolo Banchero isn't even a professional athlete yet at this
point. No, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I would have been like, oh, that's Paolo Banchero. I mean, in context, I was like, oh, I've seen that guy. I know who this guy is. But I think if I pass him on the street, he'd be very tall. But I don't know. That's a perfectly fine person to not recognize, in my opinion.
Okay, fair enough. I also liked his moment with Venus Williams. He was trying to interview both Venus and Serena. He noticed Venus, and he was just very happy that she actually talked to him. He's like, oh, you usually give me the cold shoulder. It's great to have a conversation together. He was so chuffed, I think you would say, afterwards. That was very, very funny to me. This was like, there were so many people on the grid.
Oh, my God.
Everybody was walking around. Like, he walked by Dwayne Wade so many times.
I was surprised he didn't recognize Dwayne Wade. I thought that would be someone that he might. I guess Martin Brundle doesn't really know anything about major American sports and doesn't know anything about the NBA. So maybe I'm not that surprised. But, like, I don't know. Dwayne Wade is a fairly...
He's known.
He's a fairly famous...
And he was looking famous, too, I would say. Like, he had a very flashy outfit on.
He's like the mayor of Miami, right? You got to think people have mentioned him or he's out there, people swarming around him. You'd think it would have been noticeable that that's a guy you should go talk to.
Yeah, it was very, very, very hectic on the grid. I saw on Twitter afterwards that Brundle said, that's why I've never watched one of those back. I hate doing it pretty much. He's like, I hate doing it, but everybody loves it when I go out there. So, oh, wild stuff. Another one that I really liked was that Bad Bunny apparently was very close with the Red Bull squad this weekend. He had a little Bad Bunny. He's got a new record out, signing his name on the back. I love this picture of him and Max Verstappen because it's hard for me to imagine like Max Verstappen listening to music.
Yeah, yeah.
Like doing anything besides driving.
And like just vibing out in general, like chilling. Like, Max like at home, like what is domestic Max like? It's very odd
to
imagine. No one knows.
Yeah. The other thing, just back to Lando's basketball helmet, just something that jogged my memory. I thought it was very funny that anytime on the broadcast anybody would mention Lando's basketball helmet, they'd be like, or, you know, he could try a three-pointer with it.
Oh, my God.
That was all that was the go-to.
Like
Crofty did it. Ted Kravitz did it. Well, he could try a three-pointer with it from distance. Like, I know what those are, three-pointers.
Somebody did say from distance after. They did add that on the end. I thought, this is good. This is very good, awkward British guys talking about basketball.
Might as well just try a three-pointer with it. I thought that was very funny. But a lot of celebs in attendance. We had Michelle Obama was there. James Corden had the McLaren guys in there.
Oh my god, James Corden. We had too much James Corden, I thought, over the course of the weekend.
A lot of James.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was far too aware of where James Corden was at any given moment. But I was really happy they never did like a singing car bit, yes. At least to the best of my knowledge. Ooh. I thought that was inevitable.
Yeah, you're right. That does seem like a guaranteed
Carpool karaoke. Like, carpool karaoke thing, like racing around the track at 150 miles an hour trying to sing something. I thought that was inevitable, but we never got it.
Pretty funny. Get Max Verstappen and James Corden in a car together singing some Bad Bunny songs.
Does he sing? Yes.
I'm 100% in, actually. It's a good record. I don't know if you checked it out. It's a pretty solid record. One guy we didn't mention yet, though, gets his own category. Michael Jordan.
Ooh.
He was hanging with Merck all weekend. That guy's a big petrol head. I think he actually does have his own racing team, at least at one point. So
yeah.
My question for you, Graydon, what's the best Michael Jordan picture from the weekend? We basically got two to consider here. One, here's Michael with Lewis Hamilton, David Beckham, and Tom Brady. A lot of people coming down hard on Beckham for
this
picture.
Being in this, saying it's like three goats and a guy named David.
Yeah, who are you subbing in? Messi, maybe? Ronaldo?
Yeah, Messi. It's Pele.
I mean, these are older guys, I suppose.
Pele, I feel like a little bit. And older guys, at least two of them, I think, are still active.
Yeah, good point. Michael, you're right. Lewis Hamilton did race later that day. Tom Brady, still a football player. He was retired for a second.
Yeah.
Just for a second.
But then he realized he had to spend time at home with his family. Never mind, I'll go back to football.
Going to racing. The other picture to consider is when Michael Jordan met Pierre Gasly. There they are, just having a meet and greet, no big deal. They probably ordered some sort of dinner.
Yeah.
Helmet on the table. That's not weird at all. But then Michael Jordan put on Pierre Gasly's helmet.
Yeah, this is
awesome
really
to me.
You know what this looks like? This looks like somebody's wearing a helmet and they photoshopped in the crying Jordan meme behind the eyes. Yeah. Like, it doesn't really look like it's a real photo. It looks like like if Pierre Gasly had a bad race and then you crying Jordaned him.
Yes.
Is what it looks like.
Well,
to me.
Honestly, Gasly did crash out of this race. So he might have got crying Jordan.
Maybe
here
this
at the
is
end.
What he did. I mean, maybe this was a bad omen. Maybe this was he should have never let the man put his helmet on.
Which way do you think it went when that helmet was sitting there? Do you think Jordan's like, can I try that on? Or do you think Gasly's like, you can try that on if you want to?
Oh, wow. I feel like Jordan is like, isn't it not? First of all, I don't think Jordan said, can I try this on? I think Jordan's like, I'm trying this on.
Yeah,
like,
good
just
point.
Takes
good
it
point.
And like,
pop it on.
Like, I'm doing whatever I want right now. Thank you.
All right, our last category, bit of a catch-all. What else caught your eye in Miami? Michael Jordan, non-celebrity, non-Brundle, non-helmet.
Okay, we had, I mean, good other weird stuff. Vettel wearing his underwear outside of his suit
very
was
weird.
A nice
very
weird moment. I liked that as a nice protest moment. Yeah, this is good. Like, I guess he's protesting them having to check their fireproof underwear now, or their fire-resistant underwear.
Yeah, they have to wear fire-resistant underwear.
Correct, and he was, I think trying to call attention to silliness around the checking that, something like that. So this is good stuff. This is yet another classic. I just feel like I feel like he's settling into like a good like weird like extroverted dad like phase where he's like just he's complaining about politics. He's wearing his underwear on the outside of his pants. He's being a big weirdo. I love it.
Yeah, he's embracing elder statesman status,
yes,
I think
absolutely.
You would say, when you just kind of say what's on your mind and sometimes throw some underwear on the outside.
This is a good weird one. The police escort for Max was peculiar.
Okay, yeah.
I thought that was like, what is
Get
going on
here?
And I thought it kind of wasn't that well like shot, like TV-wise. It just was like kind of an awkward
thing.
Also, how did Charles and – so it looked like it was quite far from where they parked the cars at the end to where they presented. So how did Charles and Carlos get there so quickly?
They must have had a separate
escort.
Must
have had like a golf cart or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you get a police escort if you win, and then you
and
get
then
a golf cart
if
otherwise.
If you're like second, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also like Lewis Hamilton showing up to press conferences wearing more jewelry than anyone could ever imagine wearing. He's been under fire a little bit as the FIA is trying to institute a jewelry ban, basically targeting Lewis Hamilton. So he says, you say I can't wear jewelry? I will wear all of my jewelry. And apparently he has two piercings that won't come out. Where do you think they are?
That's a good question.
Let us know in the comments where you think those two hit ones are.
He was getting off some fits this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
He had
He
had that like all leather suit with no shirt underneath. That was That was a serious
the
get up.
The pink look was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. What can I say?
I think it was also at this event that Hamilton was wearing all the jewelry when he was just randomly talking and he like slipped in, just like as a casual aside. Yeah, I was offered to go to space.
Oh, was it the same instance there when he talked about how somebody offered to send him to space, but he doesn't believe the moon landing happened?
Right.
That was the other thing that came to light, was I guess he is skeptical of the moon landing, but had been offered to go to space.
Hey, if you want to get to the bottom of it,
go up there and check out yourself. You want to figure out whether we really went, why not go there and take a peek around, see if I actually find any evidence that we were up there in the first place.
Would you do it? Go to space.
You know what?
Or fake the
moon
landing?
I don't know. I am fake the moon landing. Absolutely. I think our nation needed to rally around victory at this time. We needed to get behind something, and that was a great hoax to focus us and bring us together as a country. Would I go to space? I don't know. I feel like actually maybe not. Like I am a little afraid of heights. It's very high. I don't like it when like planes are super turbulent. It kind of stresses me out. I feel like it would be freaky.
Oh, it would definitely be freaky. What about you, JD? If you were offered an all expense,
yeah, JD would go.
Expense paid trip
in
to
a
space.
Heartbeat.
Yeah,
in a heartbeat. Of course. Yeah, yeah. While I'm on screen here, I just wanted to jump in about the hats. Mm-hmm. I think the visor. Great idea.
Okay, thank
you. It's a great idea, but I'm going to put a pitch in for the Vegas showgirl of the No Dunks crew with Trey on the end there in red. And just these headpieces are spectacular. This was
Pirelli headpieces of these would be incredible.
Oh, can you imagine? It would just be hilarious to see the drivers with them on. I mean,
You guys look very stately and elegant, I think, but I think the drivers would look silly. Yes, not unlike you guys.
Exactly.
You look natural and in your element.
Yeah, I guess the only problem would be finding a place to put like the little the gold embroidery.
Right.
Maybe you go with the gold one, but I just think it's
finding
so funny.
There's a lot of volume
lot of
there.
Places.
There's plenty of real estate to put things on.
It kind of looks like Skeets has them on his sort of like crown there.
Yeah,
sure.
Feathers sticking out of them. But anyway.
I just love how in this picture we've all got, you know, nice, jolly faces, but JD just grinning ear to ear. That this finally went down.
How did you get out of having to wear these?
I wasn't on the show, so I didn't have to.
You know,
and it was my greatest dream. Every time we went to Summer League, I wanted that to happen. We dressed them in Elvis. We dressed them in various costumes on the final show. Mm-hmm. But then I finally got my showgirls, and it worked out great. They looked amazing.
Awesome.
So,
yeah. Well, visor's a good idea, but showgirl headdresses is the way to go in Vegas next year. I just imagine it's like doubling the height of a lot of these drivers, getting blown all over the place.
Yeah.
It can get windy in Vegas.
Well, they've got great neck strength.
Great neck strength, and if you're going to be prepared for the NFL, you got to be able to deal with the gridiron.
They need to be. They need to be able to hold their heads up. Those helmets got to easily weigh as much as a headdress.
That's exactly right. Good times in Miami. A funnish race and a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We're going to take another break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little Spanish Grand Prix. Spanish Grand Prix, you might say.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Back with no breaks. We're going back to Miami real quick here, Graydon. One thing that didn't come up, I can't believe we didn't mention it. What did you think of the fake marina and how it actually looked?
I cannot believe we didn't mention this. How did we? This is insane.
Am I dumb? I thought they were going to have real water.
I thought so too. I don't think that's dumb. I would have absolutely thought that. I thought this was incredibly shocking.
Yeah, I mean, they had like the little swimming pools, I guess, in what they were calling the beach club. But then the fact that this was all just
in the plans, I thought it looked like they were going to put the boats like in a big fake harbor.
Yeah.
And you could like swim or something.
Hang out on the boats, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, like, if I had bought, like, months ago, if I had bought a boats ticket, I would have been like, I think I would have presumed it would be floating. If I had gotten there and this is what it was like, I would, what the hell? I would have been shocked.
Where's the water?
Yeah. I just think this is so odd.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it is really strange that they just had a Grand Prix in a parking lot, basically, and then they put in fake boats with fake water in a fake marina. Oh, it's just crazy stuff. And I mean, they took a lot of aerial shots of it as well, as if it were a real marina.
Yeah, I just can't believe they thought this was a good idea. I guess putting in water is costly and time intensive and maybe tough to do semi-permanently, but I don't know. I thought this was so odd and like kind of embarrassing. I just thought this is weird.
It is weird, but well,
I guess the question is, content out of it, like guys like fake swimming on it, or like, you know.
But the question is, what are you looking at if you're not looking at that? I mean, the bringing water, that much water, we're talking about what, 100,000 gallons?
A lot of
water.
Of gallons.
Like, it would be a lot. Very, very wasteful.
Sure. Yep. Okay. So you think it was you think it's like a concern for the climate?
No. I think that it's like just a production designer going, what screams Miami? A marina. What's going to look good from the air? Let's put fake water there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No,
I'm not making an excuse.
Right.
And I hate that it was so well watched. Because now it sort of validates this decision.
It got a ton of PR.
Yeah.
Twitter blew up with this when this first came out, that this is what was going on. Because I think we were not alone in anticipating that it would be real water. Far from it, in fact.
We thought it was real water.
They're real boats. Yeah. It's a real dock.
Real boats, real dock, fake water. But it looks more blue. It looks more blue than real water would, I suppose.
I guess.
And also the sparkles are built in as well, right?
Yeah, wow. Like the shimmering light. Yeah, the fact that like the light glistening off the water is not real, but is like part of it is special.
Well, it's a temporary track, right? I guess it's back to being a car park.
I think so. I think when, you know, the Dolphins kick off next season, it'll just be a big sea of parking lots again.
I wonder if they'll bring back the exact same setup. I mean, I guess they tinker with track layouts and that kind of stuff, which would mean you could change up your where you're putting your fake marinas.
You'd have to think that maybe they'll tinker with a few moments, but it was really costly to like reimagine year in, year out. So, and there's got to be a lot of permitting involved. I suspect it'll be similar next year.
We shall see. That's a year from now. In a couple of weeks from now, we've got a race in Spain. So let's take a quick look here at the updated standings. Up top in the driver standings, Charles Leclerc still in first, but the lead has narrowed between he and Max Verstappen. Verstappen now 19 points behind Leclerc. Following Verstappen, you got Perez, Russell sitting in P4, Carlos Sainz, Hamilton, Norris, Bottas, Ocon, and Magnussen. Magnussen still hanging in number 10. A little surprised by that. Team standings, the constructor standings, Ferrari atop the leaderboard right now, but a very slim lead, just 6 points ahead of Red Bull, followed by Mercedes, McLaren, Alfa Romeo, Alpine, AlphaTauri, Haas, Aston Martin, and Williams. I love it. Points for every single team. On the grid. Very cool. Well, like I said, we're going to Spain for the next race. Not until May 20th. We got practice in Spain on May 20th, qualifying May 21st. The race is on May 22nd. Did race there last season.
We did.
Lewis Hamilton won. Max Verstappen P2. Bottas in P3. Who does this track favor, Graydon?
It's a good question. I think it probably, I mean, I think right now it's probably favors Red Bull. at this point, it seems like almost any track probably favors Red Bull, short of maybe Monaco when we go there or something like that. Or, you know, so, but, you know, this, we'll see how this race goes. Barcelona has a very bad reputation for being one of the most boring races of the season, sadly. Uh-oh. It is. People do not love the Spanish Grand Prix. So I'm hoping that that, you know, but there's a lot of races, actually, people used to say that about, that have given us absolute bangers, right? Like, people used to say that about Sochi, and last year in Russia was wild. You know, people have said that a lot about a lot of places that have delivered some terrific races. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, it's I wish we weren't coming out of kind of what was a quiet or muted race heading into Spain. That's not ideal.
Yeah, I saw the Slipstream team earlier was saying that both this race and I think Monaco is the next one after are not big overtaking races.
No, they're not. That's the issue, right? I mean, by boring, I think that's fundamentally what I mean, right? You know, at least Monaco has, I think, the, you know, the glitz and the glamour and the history and the scenery, and it makes for a very, very intense qualifying. Barcelona, to me, just kind of is like there just are a lot of unforgettable weekends there. But we'll see. I will say, we have never been there with these cars before.
True.
We have never been there with the cars that are able to follow us closely, that are able to fight back against one another. This is a great test of whether Monaco is not a good test of whether the cars are more competitive in on race, because it's too narrow and it doesn't matter. It's still too narrow for people to really overtake most places. Barcelona is a real test of, like, you know, will we be able to follow more closely, and have we actually created better racing?
I guess we shall see if the new regulations have an effect there, because it would be cool to get a good race and some nice overtakes and some good racing between the racers.
That would be great.
Anyways, we'll be back May 24th to recap the Spanish Grand Prix. Until then, Graydon, it's playoff mode.
Whoo, I'm excited.
Yeah, you can follow Graydon on Twitter at Mr. Gordian. Two pivotal game fives tonight, Graydon.
Pivotal.
Philadelphia at Miami.
Let's get pivotal.
Dallas at Phoenix. Who you like?
I'm liking Miami, and I'm liking Phoenix. I'm going with the
hot teams.
The hot teams. Homers. The home teams. I'm going with the home teams.
Be exciting to see if anybody tries a three-pointer from distance.
We'll see if they could try. You can't
My
try
guess
it.
Is yes.
My understanding about three-pointers is they're best from distance. They're harder the closer you get.
Yeah, as soon as you get too close.
People don't, because then you get too close, and then it's no longer, you can't even make 3 points anymore.
Check out Graydon at Mr. Gordian. Follow No Dunks on social media at No Dunks Inc. anywhere and everywhere on the internet. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, wherever. Send us some F1 emails at nodunks@theathletic.com. You can subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/nodunks. No Dunks back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, on the No Dunks channel to break down those pivotal game fives. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Stay speedy, people. Vroom, vroom.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.